pleasure and honor it is for me and my family to be here before you to study the Word of God, and thank you so much for the invitation. We were looking forward to come here and to see you all, and thank you so much. The title for the lesson this afternoon is on the board, Attitudes for Success, and the reading is Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, the Bible says the following. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am given to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to these people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In this lesson, for a few minutes, we'll note and study the attitudes that God wanted Joshua to have prior to his entering to the land of Canaan. In essence, God tells Joshua to do the following. Adopt a plan, avoid anxiety, and accept assurance. My objective is that each would know God's formula for spiritual success as it was given to Joshua, and be able to apply these principles to our lives so that we may be successful in our Christian walk with God and in our life each day. But before we do that, we have a privilege and honor, and that is to go to our God in a prayer. So let's do this as we humble ourselves. It was a time of uncertainty for Israel. Moses had just died, and Joshua had to take in the reins of leadership in Israel. He was to lead the children of Israel through the promised land. Now, to whom he was going to turn? What would he tell the people? Where would he go first? There must have been a million questions going through his mind. Then God speaks directly to Joshua. He tells Joshua to go over the Jordan and claim the land that God had given to them. He tells Joshua to observe the law and keep it faithfully, the Bible says. He then tells him to be strong and of good courage, and be not afraid, neither be dismayed. The Lord thy God is with thee wherever he goes. In essence, brethren and friends, he gives Joshua keys to success. And this evening, I want to share with you three things that I think is very important, and in my opinion, is one of the formulas for the Christians to be successful in their lives. If we desire to be spiritually successful, then we must, first of all, adopt aplomb. The word aplomb signifies a great amount of self-confidence. God tells Joshua to be strong. God tells Joshua to be courageous. You know, courage was something that he would need in facing his enemies. Strength was what he needed to motivate his friends. He would need both to be successful in leading the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. As Christians, we need to be courageous as well. You know, courage is to be brave or bold in adverse circumstances. We need to be bold, brave, and courageous to speak the truth in the face of opposition. The apostles pray for such. If we go to Acts chapter 4, verse 29, let's read what the Bible says about this. Acts chapter 4, verse 29, the Bible says the following. Acts 4, 29, it says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." The apostles pray for such. You know, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, the Bible says that we can be courageous when we know that the Lord is our helper. The Bible says, Hebrews 13, 6, "So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" This is the attitude that we must adopt if we want to be successful in our Christian's life. Also, the great apostle Paul often asked for prayers on his behalf so that he would speak boldly. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. The Bible says the following. Paul said, "And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." What a wonderful prayer the Apostle Paul asked their fellow Christian members to pray for him. Now, of course, putting on the whole armor of God help us to be strong as well. Gear our loins with truth, breastplate of righteousness, and on our feet the preparation of the gospel, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and of course, sword of the Spirit. But you know, strength for the Christian, however, may come from the unlikeliest of sources. If we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, listen to what Paul said also in this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Listen to what he wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 12, 10. The Bible says the following. It says, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You know, we can always be assured, however, that with Christ we can do anything. Yes, we can do anything because he has strengthened us. As Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Philippe Petit, the man on wire, once said, "It is impossible, that's for sure, So let's start working. So, brethren, let us adopt a prompt, an indomitable spirit with great confidence in God. We need to be bold, brave, and courageous to speak the truth in the face of opposition. You know, when we were growing up, my wife and I was raised up in the north part of Mexico, as Brother Paul knows this, the north part of Mexico. And the north part of Mexico is so close to the United States that even though there's a lot of Catholics still, it's not as crazy as the center or south of Mexico. But my wife, growing up in the south part of Mexico, she really and her family faced opposition with speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ to their fellow friends or, you know, their fellow workers or people there. I still remember growing up, and my dad and I and my brothers would go there and visit them, and they were only just one family. My wife with his family, with her family only, started a congregation there in one of the parts of Mexico where there's more Catholics than any other place in Mexico. All the streets are named after saints. So imagine that. You know, so even the teacher at school, they would look to you differently if you were not Catholic. So imagine growing up in that environment. But guess what? Even though they face a lot of opposition, and in some cases, even physical threats, and I'm talking about they used to gather together to worship the first day of the week, and people would just throw stones at the building just to interrupt the service. Stuff like this, crazy. Now it's one of the most growing congregations in Mexico. And that is because they endure. They adopt a plumb confidence in God. And we as well, we need to do this. When we face opposition, let's adopt a plan and be courageous because the Lord tells us so. Secondly, I want to share with you that if we desire to be spiritually successful, we must avoid anxiety. You know, anxiety is worrying about things over which we have no control whatsoever. It leads to fear and dismay. Irma Bombeck once said, "Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but never gets you anywhere." And that's true. You know, God told Joshua to have no fear and be not dismayed. When we have this kind of fear, we will fail to act. To be dismayed is to be like a deer looking into the headlights. When we have such attitudes, we will be overcome and fail. As Christians, we must avoid anxieties. You know, Jesus tells us not to be anxious for food and shelter, but instead, he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Matthew 6:33. Paul, the great apostle Paul, would write in Philippians 4:6, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Now, there is a type of fear that we must have. Namely, fear of God, of course. Matthew 10:28, the Bible says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." But let me tell you what Jesus means about this. This is a respectful fear, an awe of one so mighty and powerful. But as Christians, however, we are not to fear what man can do to us. We are not to fear what man can do to us. 1 Peter 3:14, go with me please to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Listen to what the Bible says right there. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. 14, the Bible says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of the treads, nor be troubled. What a blessing it is to suffer for Christ's sake. We are not to be afraid of this. This is a blessing when something happened to us when we speak the gospel. What a blessing this is. Now, go with me also to 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says the following. 1 John 4, 18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So we see right here that we not need to fear when we suffer for Christ's sake. I want to share with you also another story in this point. Recently, at the beginning of the year, I received an email from our Bible email studies that we do over the internet. And it was a young man, you know, he's married, he has three beautiful daughters, like 8, 7, and 5 years old. And he emailed me inquiring about the lessons about the gospel and the doctrine of the Church of Christ and everything. And we started to, you know, communicating and giving him the lessons. He would respond back and everything. And I found out that he was for 10 years a Pentecostal preacher in Mexico. But after studying with him, he was converted to the truth. And thanks be to God that we were able to travel, baptize him only. And then he studied with his wife, and he baptized his wife, his dad, his mom, three of his friends. But guess what happened? He was excommunicated, of course, from the Pentecostal movement, because now he was facing opposition. And since he lives in a place that is really small town, he doesn't even have a car. He goes with his bike to everywhere he goes there. It's a very small town. Imagine not having friends anymore, people telling you that you are a false teacher now because you preach that baptism is for the remission of sins and things like this. But he endured on this, and he sent me a text yesterday that he is now traveling to study with a group of people of 12 to 15 people that wants to hear the truth now. So for me, when I hear this, this is an encouragement. And when we fear opposition, like Peter said, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of the treads, nor be troubled. People were pointed at him and his family, not to be friends anymore of him because he switched religions and something like this. But the Bible says that this is a blessing. And if we avoid anxiety, we will overcome whatever obstacle we may have. And that's what we need to do. Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but only empties today of its strength. So if we desire to be spiritually successful, let us please avoid anxiety. Finally, I want to share with you accept assurance. You know, as Stephen Charnock once said, assurance is the fruit that grows out of the root of faith. God assured Joshua. God said that he would be with Joshua wherever he went. What a great promise this is. What a great assurance, knowing that God is on one side, the Creator, the ruler of the universe, the all-powerful God. He is here and present with me and with you at this moment. This is a great assurance. Could Joshua have greater assurance than that? Of course not. Jesus gave his disciples the same assurance. Go with me to Matthew 28:20. Matthew 28:20, it's a scripture that we all know, but listen to it carefully. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I am with you always. He is with us today. He's with me. He's with you. He's with us. What a great assurance this is. You know, in John chapter 14, verse 23, the Bible says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Wow. What a promise this is. The churches were also encouraged by God's presence in the first century as well. If we go to Philippians 4:9, the Bible says, the things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. The great apostle Paul also wrote in Ephesians 4:6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. What a great assurance. You know, one of my biggest fears when I leave to either another country to preach or another place, and I leave my family in Odessa, and I see them, you know, there, and then I leave. One of my biggest fear, of course, is like something happening to me and just leave my beautiful wife with four children. And you know, this is a fear that I have as a human. But when I read these scriptures, it gives me confidence. It gives me assurance that he is with us. And a great thing what it says right there, and through all and in you all, God goes with me wherever I go, but guess what? He stays with my family as well, and with you wherever you go. This is a great thing. You know, we have small children, or, you know, if you have small grandkids, or, you know, whatever the situation it is, we want to be with our kids 24-7 at school, at the park, you know, just to care of them, you know, just to watch them. But we can't do that 24-7, but God can. He is with us. He is above all and through all and in you all. So to have God so dwelling in us as to impart his character to us, and to have him so dwelling that we recognize his presence and know that we are his and he is ours, this is a great blessing, and we must accept that assurance. Believe me, if we accept that 100% in our mind, then we will be able to avoid anxiety, and we'll be able to adopt a plum. So see how everything connects? When we have this in our mind, when we believe in 100%, somebody said one time, in these two things the greatness of men consists. The one is salvation, the other is the assurance of it. We see then that if we desire to be spiritually successful, we must need to accept God's assurance that he is with us and get busy doing his will in our lives, regardless of what comes our way. This is the lesson for this evening. In conclusion, God gave Joshua three attitudes for success. If we adopt these attitudes, then we will be successful as well. Adopt a plan, avoid anxiety, and accept assurance. And remember, always remember, the strong survive, but only the courageous triumph. So let us be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. Thank you so much for the fine attention. And
I don't want to get down before I extend the invitation. If we feel that at some point we have not adopted these qualities, well, we have a great family. This is the family of Christ that we can pray for each other. I have my fears, you have yours, but get what? We can pray for each other and we can encourage each other. Nowadays with the technology, just with a text message, a text message from a brother, from a sister, that can change your day. You know, how you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? I'm praying for you. Come on, you know, I am praying for you. That really encourages us to keep on going. So at this point, if you know anyone would like to ask for the prayer, we have a great privilege and honor. So let us stand up and sing the invitation song.